You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking through converting from directive to child-centered. And this is something I get asked about a lot. I have a lot of people in my coaching programs that are navigating this journey actively. And many of you have come from eclectic backgrounds or more directive backgrounds, and you're trying to figure out how to go all in on child-centered. So I want to talk through that with y'all today. However, before I do, two housekeeping things. Number one, I have three spots left in my June coaching groups, and I have had lots of discovery calls with people who are trying to make the schedule work, et cetera. So if you are interested, there are only a couple spots left, and I want to make sure you get in. So go to playtherapypro.com if you're interested. Also, I was able to partner with Corewell to offer several of the community workshops that I gave in the last year or so. So we recently posted a birth order workshop and a love languages workshop that I conducted. They will not be for APT credit, but if you need CEUs and you would like to learn more about birth order and or love languages, you can go to Corewell and access on-demand workshops that I gave at my center. So just wanted to make you all aware of that. Okay, so let's dive in. For those of you who have only ever been child-centered, then just hang on for the ride. For those of you who have recently transitioned to being child-centered after having not been child-centered in the past, or for those of you who are still a little bit of a hodgepodge, eclectic mess, no offense. If you are still doing all kinds of things with your children and you really want to be child-centered, I have some thoughts for you. And honestly, even if you've only ever been child-centered, you know that there's always little nuggets of wisdom. So just, you know, hang out with us for a little while today. All right. So I think first and foremost, anytime we make a change, and this is a universal principle, so this will apply to all of you. Anytime we make a change clinically, once we are already working with a child and their family, the family needs to be made aware of that decision. So in this particular case, we would want to be very clear at the parent consultation that we have realized that we are going to change our approach in the playroom a little bit, give justifications for why child-centeredness is helpful, the four universal outcomes. And I mean, you could make it specific about the child. You could keep it very broad and generalized. It doesn't really matter how you approach it, but you want to make sure that parents are aware of the approach and your why. Because the last thing you want to have happen is a parent is surprised or caught off guard when they find out after the fact that all of a sudden you've made this change. And what they, quote, signed up for, which when you first met with them, you would not have said you were child-centered, right? And so whatever you said your approach was going to be, that's a contract of sorts. So they have an expectation that you've laid out for how you're going to handle therapy with their child, and you want to make it very clear from your mouth, one-on-one, face-to-face with them, that you are going to change the approach in the playroom, give them your rationale, give them your why. You know, you could say, I just recently discovered this theoretical model and it is more effective, and I really think your child will benefit from it because of XYZ. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons you can give, but you want to make it very clear to the parents any changes that you make ever. And you want to give them the opportunity to ask questions and make sure that they are supportive and on board. You would never want them to feel blindsided. Okay, so once parents are made aware and they're on board and you've acknowledged the change, you then are going to address it directly with the child in your next play session. And this is where a lot of therapists struggle because they feel like they don't really know how to explain to a child that they're going to do something different with them in sessions. And so the simplest script would be, I know in the past, I've had some activities that we've done together and we've talked about different things, and however you have conducted sessions historically with them. So whether it was talk-based, whether it was activity-based, worksheet-based, I don't even know directive approaches. Throw the wet cotton balls and see if they stick on the paper, whatever. Whatever your approach was, I know in the past we have done XYZ in sessions, but I wanted to let you know that from now on, you're going to be in charge when you're here. It's just that simple. You could go on a lot longer. You could say a lot more, but at the simplest level, you're letting them be in charge from here on out. And they may ask some questions. They may go, what, really? Wait, what do you mean I get to be in charge? So they may be dumbfounded. They may be shocked or confused, or they have all kinds of questions about it. But the bottom line is when you say you get to be in charge, moving forward, you're the boss when you come here. They will have to explore what that feels like. They will have to navigate that change. They'll have to get used to it, and it'll feel strange and awkward and uncomfortable for a little while for both of you. Let's be very real. However, they are going to understand if you stay true to that, you're going to be in charge for the rest of the time moving forward. They will jump in with both feet after the adjustment period, right? Because the only way this works is if you are very direct with the child. You have to be direct with the parent, but you have to be direct with the child. The theory matters. The consistency matters. Predictability, stability, all of that is a hallmark of the child-centered way. I'm assuming it's possibly the hallmark of a directive approach. I'm not really sure. However, kids come to expect a certain thing when they come to see you, no matter what that is. So if you have historically been directive or been eclectic or kind of just been doing all kinds of things with a child, they get used to that approach. Even though it's not necessarily the most effective approach, they get used to whatever it is. You therefore would not want a child to show up and then all of a sudden have you start behaving totally differently with no explanation. That is confusing. It's incongruent. It makes the child question things. They don't feel comfortable. It stymies their progress. They might start to get resentful or resistant. There's all kinds of outcomes if it's not just directly addressed. I often tell my clinicians at my center, address the elephant in the room. So whatever it is, you just need to bring it up. I know in the past we've done this, but moving forward, you get to be in charge when you come here. Let them ask questions. And then if you really are all in on child-centered, which you better be if you tell the child that they're going to be in charge from there on out, then you're going to say, oh, you're really curious about this change. You're surprised that you get to be in charge and you're just going to dive right into child-centeredness. That's the beauty of just being direct with a child. You can be all in as soon as they're aware of the process. All right. Third is you need to be prepared for a little bit of a restart. And what I mean by that is you don't lose the relationship that you have with the child. You don't lose the rapport that's been built. Whatever they've already established in therapy with you, that will remain. However, it's almost like you reset the clock to a degree back to initiation phase, warm-up stage, because this is a whole new process now. So while everything relationally is consistent, the process is very different. So you need to be aware and prepared for the idea that the child might need a little bit of a restart. Not that you're going to need 5 full weeks of initiation and then, you know, 2 full weeks of resistance. It doesn't go back to ground zero, but you can't expect a child to not even skip a beat and just continue on their journey because theoretically, this is the polar opposite of what you've been doing. You've been in charge, you've been guiding, you've been orchestrating activities, you've been encouraging discussions about certain things, you've had agenda planned or curriculum or whatever in mind. They have not been the master of their own therapeutic journey. They don't know what that feels like. It's foreign to them. It's going to be a little bit strange and awkward and uncomfortable, probably. Therefore, they're going to need a little bit of an adjustment time. So you're not kind of letting go of everything that's already taken place, but there is going to be a little bit of a boost that needs to happen where things kind of get rolling again with momentum and an awareness of this new approach. And that's something that you would probably want to share with parents as well. So as you're telling them, hey, I'm going to, you know, do things a little bit differently, and just say, and I want you to know, it may take a couple weeks for the child to acclimate to the new process and the new approach. So just be mindful that you might see a little bit of change in behavior or something as there's the adjustment period. Again, direct addressing of it so that the parent isn't surprised. Okay. And then finally, I have watched a lot of videos of therapists working with children, and they started directive. And now that I'm coaching them and they're in the collective and they have come to the light side with the CCPT world, they have converted to child-centeredness. And so now their videos that I'm reviewing are child-centered, but they did not start with the child from the very first session as a child-centered approach. So the child has had both, essentially. And what I have noticed and observed in sessions that I've watched is that kids are a little bit hesitant to dive all into the child-centered approach until they really understand that it's something that they can understand and trust. In other words, they're used to a certain thing, and that certain thing was comfortable. And even if they were resistant to activities, and even if they didn't want to talk, and even if they weren't too keen on whatever worksheet you wanted them to do or whatever, they still got used to that rhythm and that predictability. Many children have never been given autonomy and freedom and control over anything ever. So if they are coming from a directive therapeutic model, and now all of a sudden you're saying you get to be in charge, they might truly not know what that's like. It may feel really, really uncomfortable for them. They might try to avoid it. It's very easy to fall back on old habits and patterns. So if they're used to you directing things, they may go, I don't know, what do you want to do? Well, what do you think I should play with? Well, how do you think we should do this? They're going to default to what is safe, which is you still being in charge. That eventually will sort itself out as you continue to be child-centered, you continue to return responsibility, you continue to help them believe in themselves, that they do have the capacity to manage and be in control. All of that will naturally fix itself. However, there's another alternative as well. So sometimes kids are a little bit hesitant and they want to default to what they've known before. Another option is they dive in with both feet, and their nonverbal response and how deeply and quickly they are all in communicates volumes about why in the world were you trying to tell me what to do? You should have just trusted me from the get-go, and I will be the master of my own therapeutic journey. Just get out of my way and let me do my thing, my way, my time. If you just don't interfere, things are going to be great. So there's usually one of two responses. You get kids that are like, whoa, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I like this. This is weird. Can you just be in charge? That feels a lot more comfortable for me. Okay. But then you have those that are like, yes, thank God. Like, please just move so that I can do what I need to do. And in either case, you see the transformation that takes place. So many of you on the discovery calls, in the collective calls, in the forums, in the coaching programs, so many of you have shared what it has been like to watch a child that you started directive with, and then you switched to non-directive. And when you were fully child-centered, you watched the magic of it all. And there is nothing like it. And if that doesn't support and remind you that the child-centered model is effective and it works, and it's amazing what happens when we just trust the child to do what they need to do, It just blows your mind. And so many of you all have shared those stories with me. And you know what else I hear a lot is once you all have switched, so now I'm totally child-centered, I'm all in, your very first client that you start with and you're child-centered from the first week, that's a hallmark moment, y'all. That's all I've ever done, right? I've never been directive. So every kid I've ever worked with, I've only ever been child-centered. But for those of you that have switched and converted and decided, you know what? I want to be child-centered. I'm just diving in both feet, you know, into the deep end. Let's go. That first kid that on the very first day, you know that that child is going to get child-centered play therapy from start to finish, That is a big deal. And then every child thereafter, it's the same story for them. So look, don't feel like you've done a disservice to the kids that you started directive with, or even maybe kids you look back on years ago. I had therapists that started working for me at the center that said, Brenna, if I could go back and work with those kids that I saw in Georgia all those years ago, and if I could have just been child-centered with them way back then, I know how much better off they would have been. Oh my gosh, when I was in Tennessee, if I could have started with those kids child-centered and gone the whole course of treatment child-centered, I know what that would have done for them. I wish I could go back. We can't undo what's been done, right? We don't need to feel guilt and shame and blame for things that we are looking back on, not looking forward to, right? So don't let that pressure and burden be carried around. But know that if you have been directive, if you have been doing eclectic, if you have been incorporating other things that are not child-centered, it's not too late. Draw your line in the sand and say, from this day forward, it's kind of like your marriage ceremony, right? From this day forward, I pledge, I do solemnly swear that I'm only ever going to be child-centered. And if that means that you have to about face in the middle of work with some of your kids, you don't need to complete a directive treatment with that child just because you started directive. Decide that you're going to be all in child-centered and switch. Talk to the parents, talk to the child, go all in, trust yourself, trust that you'll figure it out if you don't really know what you're doing right away. And, you know, get involved in the collective, get involved in one of the coaching programs. I promise you, you can get to where you are fully confident in your child-centered skills, but you have to be all in. The only way you master something is to do that. Jack of all trades, master of none. You can't be a jack of all therapeutic modalities and think that you're going to be good at any of them. And if you're not good at any of them, then that means your client is not getting the best of you. The best of you is all in, theoretically. I'm only child-centered. I'm exclusively child-centered. From this day forward, that's it. And do whatever it takes to change the path that your current clients are on if you haven't been that way to this point. It is possible. It is feasible. I'm coaching all kinds of people that have done it. So don't let that be a hindrance to you. Don't let it make you feel bad or guilty. Just decide moving forward, you're going to be all in child-centered. And I promise you, you will be amazed at the results. It is absolutely transformative when a kid gets to manage their own process. And they're not resistant. They're not angry. They're not hesitant. They're not defiant. They will work through some of those issues if that's their issue. But they don't resent the therapeutic process because it's theirs. It's no longer someone else's. It's theirs. There's so much power in that. All right, y'all. Thanks for being with me. It was lovely to spend the afternoon, morning, evening, whenever you listen to me with you. It's my evening, but I don't know when it is for you. And happy Memorial Day to all of my States people. That's coming up next week. So I hope that you all have a great Memorial Day. Spend time doing something fun. Go out and play and just enjoy having some time with your family and friends. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.